Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and we are alive. It's been about a week since we last did our last episode. The reason being, just not a ton has happened. I know we did a ton last year, early in the off season, but I just didn't really feel like there was a ton to get into. The combine pressers brought out some news, but not a ton. I just wanted to give an update and say we're definitely still on, we're still rolling, but our main podcasting is going to kick off when, you know, really concrete things start happening. I'm honestly kind of done with off-season hype and talk and speculations. I get that's a big part of the NFL off-season, but I just don't really want to entertain that at the moment, to be honest with you. I want to see where things actually line up and then start kind of putting analysis together. But I did want to get out an episode today. Maybe it'll end up being shorter, but I thought we'd go through kind of some of the news going around the NFL right now. There's been a ton of stuff. One thing I want to start with, Jason Witten. The internet successfully bullied him back to playing with the Dallas Cowboys, which, I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I always thought he was kind of cut a raw deal. It's got to be just so hard to be a color commentator and to make that transition from being a player to someone who's up in the booth. And I think he kind of got a rough deal of it, to be honest with you. I think that there just needs to be, he needed more of a grace period. And obviously he had some blunders, but people need to understand that this guy's a human being too. And heading back to Dallas Cowboys, as far as the football moves goes, I don't know if I agree with it. Jason Witten couldn't run routes. The last time we saw him play, unless it was a straight line up the field. So I'm not sure how that's going to play in. I think this transitions him well into a coaching role, to be honest with you. I think that this will be, quote unquote, his last season again. And I think it gives Jerry Jones a great excuse. The Jones family has been very noncommittal to Jason Garrett this offseason. They want him to, quote, take the next step, and saying, quote, everyone's backs are against the wall. To me, that says go win a Super Bowl or you are out. And I just don't see the Dallas Cowboys right now, especially with the suspensions of David Irvin and Randy Gregory, as a team that's going to be a playoff team. They need to address defensive holes at pass rusher badly, and they need to make sure that Dez Lawrence is happy, because if he ends up holding out, that could be a major problem. I hope they go after hitting a long-term deal with him instead of just using the franchise tag. I think one of my hot takes is that if he gets tagged, I think that he's going to sit out. I really do think that's the way it's going to play out. In Dallas, I think he wants a big long-term contract, and if he doesn't get it, I think he's going to be willing to sit out. I could see that not working out well for the Cowboys, and maybe they trade him for some first-round picks. Who knows? But I just think the DeMarcus Lawrence situation could get a little bit murky in Dallas. I don't think it's as cut and dry as everyone says it is. And going back to Witten, I think Witten could transition into a coaching role, especially if Jason Garrett gets fired. Jerry Jones loves Jason Witten, and I think Jason Witten would be a logical choice, maybe not to the rest of us, but to Jerry Jones as the next head coach of the Cowboys. So that's kind of another take. I think if the Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl in 2020, Jason Garrett will be the Cowboys head coach. I just think that's the way it's going to go down. So that was kind of the most immediate news that I didn't have down on here. The other things that kind of came out of the combine: Lev Bell becoming a free agent, no surprise there. There was a little bit of talk that maybe the Steelers could put the tag on him, but he's going to walk, be a free agent, obviously be highly touted. The Steelers looking to move AB, obviously, but only to the right place. The news came out yesterday that the destinations are Tennessee, Washington and Oakland. Out of those three, I think my friend Brian Willis on Twitter brings up a good point. I think Tennessee would be an interesting fit. Give Marcus Mariota downfield threat. I think that that's one of the underrated pieces of Mariota's game. Although I feel like AB would be wasted talent. I think that if he was going to go anywhere, it would probably be Oakland just because they have the most first round picks. I think that that could be a place where he fits in. But again, the quarterback situation there is still murky, even though Mike Mayock came out and said, Derek Carr, we believe, is a franchise quarterback. But he also said, I need to keep my options open. So they could still look to trade Derek Carr. Oh, and one of the places that could use Carr, honestly, would be Washington. I think that's an interesting trade I heard proposed by someone else, actually, our good friend Mark Sessler. I think that if Derek Carr went to Washington for, say, a second round pick, they could definitely grab Antonio Brown, and that would make the Washington Redskins a really interesting watch next year. I'm tired of the AB story. I've said this so many times. I don't think he's a good teammate. I don't think he deserves all the leeway he gets from some people. I think he's a total distraction. And I think that the Steelers keeping him at this point would kind of be a mistake, especially because he's just kept on doubling down on the fact that Big Ben's not a great teammate. Now, shocker, someone doesn't think Big Ben's a great guy. But still, I don't like I don't like the quote antics of Antonio Brown. I don't like the Instagram live videos. I don't like him going out and spouting off. We get it. You want to trade. You need to calm down and let your organization do what they will. If you get traded, that's great. But don't go out and burn all these bridges in Pittsburgh. Because if he plays on that team next year, there's going to be major turbulence. And also, I don't think he's earned the right to say any of this stuff. This guy's a quitter. He literally quit on his team in the most important game of the year. I don't think you don't have the right to talk about how your quarterback has a quote ownership mentality when you don't show up for the biggest game of the year. And honestly, part of the reason that the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't make the playoffs. I know they won that game, but maybe results elsewhere are different if Antonio Brown shows up, which is saying that out loud, that's a ridiculous statement. But still, you get my point. I don't think you deserve to talk if you don't show up to the biggest game of the year. Like, people too often forget that he quit on his team. He did. And I don't like that. And I think he should be held to a higher standard as, quote, the best wide receiver in the league. All right. Nick Foles, officially a free agent. That was big news. I really thought the Eagles might try to tag him and trade him. They do, I think, what is the right thing. They let him have his freedom. And I think he could make some big money. I think he could make upwards to $30 million a year. The clear front runner seems to be Jacksonville, according to all the NFL insiders. I would not be shocked if the Redskins went after him. And honestly, if the Giants went after him, even though the Giants, who, again, first offseason reminder of the year, Eli Manning is washed, folks. He's washed. He's not a good quarterback anymore. He doesn't have it. He is a washed quarterback. He is not going to be good next year. He's not going to take him to the playoffs. He is a bad quarterback, no matter how much talent you put around him. He can't move off the spot. He is not a good pocket passer anymore. He self-sacks himself all the time. The old Peyton Manning move where he just falls down when Peyton Manning was washed the last year of his career. And it pains me to say that because I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. Eli is washed. The Giants need to realize this. And they need to go out and they need to sign Nick Foles because can you imagine deep ball throwing Nick Foles with Odell Beckham Jr. I think the reports that Odell is going to be traded are crazy. The Maras have come out and said that's not the case. The GM has come out and said that's not the case. Jay Glazer, stop trying to give yourself headlines, man. Like, the Odell Beckham trade rumors are just that. They're just rumors. Just sent to give, set up to give Glazer more clicks, you know? Like, I just think that it's insane that he keeps reporting on this when everyone around the Giants denies it. And it's crazy to me. But imagine Nick Foles with Odell Beckham and Saquon. That team is a playoff team. And hell, I will say it, a legit contender next year if Nick Foles gets on that team. I think Nick Foles is going to be, I think he's being undervalued as a free agent. I truly think that under the right system, he can come in and he can take your team to a Super Bowl. I said it. I think he's that valuable of a free agent. I think he's the third most valuable free agent out there right now. After DeMarcus Lawrence and Le'Veon Bell. And I don't think people are giving Bell enough credit in the free agent market either. I just think the Bulls can do big things. The Denver Broncos could still go out and get Nick Foles because John Elway has done crazier things. It's reported they want to keep Keenum as a backup. I want to touch on the Broncos for a sec because they're an absolute dumpster fire. Why are you trying to keep a $30 million backup? Like, that makes absolutely zero sense for your organization and for the cap that you have to work with. I think it's time to cut Keenum and it's time to embrace the Joe Flacco era. That's what Elway wanted to do, so I guess he's going after it now. I don't think you should draft a quarterback unless you're going to get Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray, and that's just the way I'm going to stand throughout this entire draft process. And we'll get Yusei Koshal on hopefully later this week to talk a little bit about some of the draft prospects. I really want to talk about the quarterbacks because outside of Murray and Haskins, I don't buy anyone in this class. I haven't done extensive amounts of film research on these guys. I'm not a draft guy. I'm very open about that. But from what I've heard from so many experts, like, if you take a quarterback that's not Kyler Murray or not Dwayne Haskins, you're reaching. And I think that the Broncos would be unwise to take Drew Locke in the first round, at least. If he fell to the second round, maybe, but I doubt he falls that far. I just think, to finish this back up, my thought back up here, Nick Foles, not a crazy thought in Denver. If somehow you were able to part ways with Keenum. I also want to talk a little bit about, before we move on to our next topic here, an article I wrote for my blog, The Drama of It All, sportsblog.com. Check it out if you want. I would really appreciate it. I wrote a piece about free agents I could see the Denver Broncos picking up, and I want to go over a few of those really quick. I focused mainly on the secondary because the secondary was an issue for the Broncos next year, and they are going to need to replace Bradley Roby. It sounds like, from what Vic Fangio and John Elway talked like at the combine, I think they're willing to let Roby walk. I think they might try to keep Shaq Barrett, but it sounds like Shane Ray and Bradley Roby are both out the door. So I think the Broncos need more depth at safety, number one, and I think LaMarcus Joyner can be the guy that adds that. I'd love to see them go out, take a risk on Earl Thomas, but I just don't see John Elway wanting to spend that much money on a safety. So I think LaMarcus Joyner would be an absolutely great addition to the Broncos defense. I think Ronald Darby, you could get as a cornerback to replace Roby, you could get at a discounted price. I know he's had injury issues, but when he is healthy, I truly believe he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league and definitely a number one corner that you can pair with Chris Harris Jr. and make your secondary automatically a lot better. Harrell Williams, I know he had the gruesome knee injury for the Panthers last year, but again, I think he's a guy you can get on kind of a discount and you improve your tackle depth, which the Broncos desperately need.
was kind of underplayed how bad at times the O-line was last year for the Broncos because of a lack of depth. And that goes to center Matt Paradis. He's a guy that could walk away this offseason, so why not go after Mitch Morse of the Kansas City Chiefs? Not great in pass protection, but an excellent run-blocking center, and the Broncos clearly want to be a running team with Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman in the backfield. Go out at Mitch Morris and roll, you know? And then finally, they need a receiver. Emmanuel Sanders might not be the same guy after the injury. I get that Cortland Sutton has a ton of upside, but honestly, I didn't see a lot from him last year. I thought he looked very much like a rookie, and though he showed flashes, he wasn't consistent enough, in my opinion, to be a number one wide receiver. So I think you hope that Emmanuel Sanders comes back. You play him as the one wide receiver. You play Sutton at the two wide receiver spot. And then in the slot, you go after a guy like Jamison Crowder or Michael Crabtree, preferably Crowder. Crowder's a burner deep, provides a really good target down the field, and I think would be a ton of fun to watch on the Broncos in 2019. So that's kind of my thoughts on what the Broncos should do in free agency. Now, I wanted to talk just a little bit about teams in the franchise tag and how this whole scenario of free agency is going to play out a little bit. It's loaded on the defensive side, people. That's all you really need to know, is that the defensive side of the ball is stacked in this free agency class. As the Chicago Fire score a goal, I'm watching MLS in the background. Short tangent on MLS. As I move my laptop for half a second so I can see how this all develops. I love MLS. I live in Salt Lake. I really enjoy just I know it's not the best soccer in the world as a podcast who's terribly wrong. And it's intercepted by the Fire. The LA Galaxy and the Fire are playing by the way. Picked off by CJ. I'm a big MLS fan. I just subscribed to ESPN Plus today, so I've been watching MLS all day. Go check MLS out, especially if you're new to soccer. It's not the Premier League. It's not Champions League, but I don't think it claims to be that. It claims to just be a good developmental league in the United States and a place where players come to retire as well. I love watching the MLS. I think it's endlessly entertaining to have on in the background and just a really good time to watch in general. We're trying to branch out a little bit this offseason. Obviously, this is still an NFL podcast, but I want to have my friend Travis Calvin on here soon to talk some baseball, to talk some basketball, and to talk some MLS for like a really long episode. So I'm hoping that comes out sometime within the next month. And I really can't wait to do that because I think MLS is just a joy to watch. I really enjoy it. But anyways, free agency in the NFL, chock full of defensive players. A few names to watch. Landon Collins. It doesn't sound like the Giants are married to tagging him. If they can't get a long-term deal worked out, I would watch for Collins to hit the open market. And I think he's a great safety. Some people say he struggles in man coverage. I disagree. I think he is a great safety in man coverage. And for the Giants to let him go would be a mistake. But I could definitely see him hitting the market. Dee Ford just tagged. That was some news that broke this afternoon. So Kansas City gets pass rusher back. That's great that they don't have to worry about him. Des Lawrence, we already talked about that. Grady Jarrett, I think, is one of the most underrated defensive tackles in the league for Chris Kastain's Falcons. I want to have him on to talk about Jarrett a little bit in the upcoming weeks. But I think that the Falcons are going to hook him up with a long-term deal. It doesn't sound like they're going for the franchise tag. So that's something to watch. And then Frank Clark for the Seattle Seahawks. It sounds like they have every intention of keeping him as well, which is great because Clark had a really good year last year. I thought he was a brutally underrated pass rusher last year for the Seattle Seahawks. He put up some pretty decent numbers. He had 41 combined tackles and 13 sacks last year. One of the leading sack getters in the NFL. I don't think he gets enough credit. He is an absolute beast, one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, and the Seahawks would be absolute fools to let him go, and they're not going to. They're gonna hold on to him tight, keep him for another year. Alrighty, that about does it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the End Zone Podcast. A lot of information that we just discussed over the past 20 minutes. I always am amazed that I somehow figured out how to speak for 20 minutes straight into this microphone on my desk. We appreciate our listeners. Thank you for being flexible. We don't really have a schedule right now. We're not really going with a schedule this offseason, I've decided. We're going to drop episodes here and there. Expect at least one episode every 2 weeks. Hopefully the next time you hear us, we'll have Yusei Koshelon to recap the Combine, because I'll be honest with you, I did not watch the Combine. I have come to notice over my past 6 years of watching the NFL that unless you're actually at the Combine and getting inside scoops, or you know something from what's going on inside of the meetings, Combine analysis is useless outside of maybe 40 speed. So I think that we are going to come back. We're going to talk about what happened at the Combine, talk about the prospects coming into this year's draft, mainly so I can get better educated on them, and hopefully so you can get better educated as well. It's going to be a ton of fun, and I really can't wait to talk to Yusei because he's super knowledgeable about the NFL draft and everything that comes along with it. I can't wait to have him back on. Shout out to Matthew Pierce. He just had a member of the family die. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, man. It sucks to hear. I hope you're doing better. I know you're in Arizona this weekend. But we got you in our thoughts and prayers, man, and we hope that you come back as soon as possible. Go check out the Full Speed Ahead podcast, which I'm sometimes on with him. As I die. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hold on. Let me get up. Sip on. Oh, pardon me, folks. Ooh, just about died myself there. died coughing. But again, we're really just sorry to hear about Pierce's family situation, and hope that he is doing well. And obviously, thoughts and prayers are with he and his family. Go check out the Full Steed Ahead podcast. Do a great job covering the Salt Lake Stallions, who I had a chance to go cover live in a press box last week. I want to give a shout out to them. It was awesome. I wrote a piece about it for my school paper. I might tweet that out from the End Zone account. And I think I got credentials the whole year somehow, even though I only applied for one game. I didn't go to the game tonight because of the inclement weather, but I'm definitely planning on covering a few more Stallions games, hopefully bringing some of that content to the podcast as well, which would be absolutely awesome to do. Perhaps a live podcast from Rice-Eccles Stadium, which would be so dope to do. So maybe we'll do that this season. Who knows? Anyways, again, thank you very much for listening. As always, we appreciate you guys a ton. Our Twitter at EndZonePod, my Twitter at Eric18Utah. Credit to Brian Willis on the Tennessee take at Real Brian Willis. Chris Castain, of course, you can find him on Twitter at CHRAS_01, I think, I want to say. But it's Christian Castain. I don't know why I'm doing all these shout outs, but Travis Calvin at GSPT Cal. Check out the Grand Slam podcast. It's always awesome. Anyway, Saunders, who is in the combine covering a combine in Indy, and got some awesome interviews. Like, I saw him tweet out something today that he's going to have Dan Quinn, Bill O'Brien, and I want to say, I think he would have made a bigger deal out of it if it was Pete Carroll, to be honest with you. I think Pete Carroll might have been one of them, but let me double check his Twitter at JondersFPT. Go check him out. No, I don't want to unfollow Jonders. Why would I? No, would not want to do that. Oh, he says Rob Rivera, but he means Ron Rivera, folks. Bill O'Brien and Dan Quinn. That is so awesome. That's so freaking awesome, Jonders. I'm so jealous. You're the best, man. I love you, man. Love your show. You're awesome. Go check it out. It's so awesome to see people I know doing so well. And I just can't wait to hear that episode. So go check out Forward Pass Thinking Audio as well. Frick, guys. Like, it's just been an awesome time. I forgot how much fun podcasting was, even if it's all by myself. I cannot wait to get back to this. Maybe we'll be back next week. Who knows? But the NFL offseason is a barren wasteland as the Chicago Fire almost strike again, although that was offside. I hit the post while we were recording. Go check it out, FS1, LA Galaxy, Chicago Fire. But if you're listening to this tomorrow, just go buy ESPN Plus and go watch all the freaking soccer you can next week. Love soccer. Love the game. It's awesome. Love American football as well. Shout out Mark Magana. I don't know why that came out, but call him the Shots podcast. Awesome time. Just so many shout outs in the last 5 minutes of this episode. So go check all those guys out. I love seeing people I know have success. It's so awesome to see. Love all you guys, and we will see you guys next time. So.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.